1 Kings chapter 10. And we will read together from verse 1. The most familiar passage to many, well-known story recorded for us here. One that has tremendous gospel truth to set before us. And as I thought about the meeting this evening and waited on the Lord, He turned my heart to this passage and to what we have before us and what we will consider tonight. But let's read God's word here, 1 Kings 10 and the verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these, which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Let's bow in prayer together, please, before the Lord, and prepare hearts or minds before we come to God's truth this evening. Let's all seek the Lord's face together. Our loving and gracious God and Father, we thank Thee this evening for the one to whom sinners are invited. We thank Thee that He Himself has said in so many scriptures that sinners are to come to Him. Lord, we rejoice that He is the Savior, that when the sinner is brought to the Lord Jesus and comes to Him, there is found all that is needed to save the soul. We thank Thee for the fullness that there is in Christ. We thank Thee for the richness of His grace and for the plenitude of all the merit and all of the righteousness that are found in Him alone. And O God, we pray this evening that there will go forth unto the preaching of the Word the drawing power that will bring the sinner to the Savior. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt apply the Word, Thou wilt use it this evening, Thou wilt speak mightily and powerfully to all who wait here before Thee. Come, O God, shut us in with Thee for a season. Bless our waiting hearts. And Lord, come down among us with power and grant us that help that we need even now. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake and for His glory. Amen and amen. Turning, please, to 1 Kings chapter 10, where we read earlier, and I want to draw your attention to the whole passage, really, but especially to verse 7, where we read these words, "Howbeit I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." The authenticity of the Queen of Sheba as a person has often been called into question by liberals and by the critics of God's precious word. But we have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to verify that this woman actually did live and that she did act, as is recorded for us here in this passage. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, where it says, "The Queen of the South." The Lord refers to the Queen of the South, and He says, "She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." And therefore, the Lord Jesus makes it very clear that the authenticity of the Queen of Sheba as a person is beyond dispute. Furthermore, it is most ironic that this woman, whose existence wicked men still reject, will one day become the accuser of such men. Because in that same verse, Matthew 12, 42, the Lord informs us that the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, will rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. The Lord refers there to that generation of His own day who rejected Him, who rejected the gospel, who turned against the Lord, who turned away from the Lord. And of course, He is still rejected by wicked men who refuse to obey the gospel. But there the Lord Jesus Christ shows that on that great day, the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up and be a witness against those who reject the wisdom of someone who is infinitely greater than Solomon ever was, and who therefore is the person to whom the sinner should hasten and come and seek for mercy and seek for salvation and deliverance. But the Lord tells us that the Queen of Sheba is going to become the accuser of all Christ rejectors on that great and solemn day when He comes and the judgment is set and the books are opened and the Lord deals with men and exposes their wickedness. Such are going to be dealt with by the verdict of the Queen of Sheba herself. This reference by the Lord to the Queen of Sheba only tells us that she was a real person, but it also reveals to us that she became a child of God. We learn this from the fact already noted that she will rise up on the judgment day to condemn those who reject Jesus Christ. In other words, she will be a witness against their unbelief and their self-will. And the Bible makes it clear that that is a position that belongs only to a child of God. There are different scriptures that bring this home to us, such as Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22 and 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, where we are taught that when that day comes, it will be God's people who will be called on to be witnesses against those who have rejected the Savior, those who have lived on in their sins. We're told in Daniel 7 that judgment will be given to the saints of the Most High. We're told in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 that the saints, that is God's people, will judge the world. The saints are the believers. They are those given to Christ. They are those who are called out of the world and are saved by grace. They are the only ones who are known as saints in the Bible. And therefore, since we read here of the saints rising up like the Queen of Sheba on the day of judgment, we are therefore being told that she is, or she became, a true child of God and one who was saved by the Lord's grace, one who was delivered by the power of the gospel that was brought home to her own heart and into her own soul. I would suggest to you that the time that she became a child of God is given to us here in 1 Kings chapter 10. It was during this time or around this time that the Queen of Sheba was awakened, that she became a believer, that she was saved by God's grace, that she was delivered from her own darkness and her own sin, her own unbelief, and she was brought to know the true God and the Savior of men as He was made known to her through her visit to this great king, King Solomon. And on that basis, we may lawfully regard 1 Kings chapter 10 as a portrayal of the sinner seeking after Christ, coming to Christ, entering into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into a relationship with Him that is so necessary, that is essential, without which all men are going to perish if they do not come to Jesus Christ. This is the great truth that runs the whole way down through this passage. This is the gospel truth that stands out here in a most remarkable way. This vital matter of the sinner coming to the Savior. Notice in verse 7 the words of the Queen of Sheba, in which she testifies that it was only when she came to Solomon that she experienced what is recorded. Notice what she says. "Howbeit, I believe not thy words," or "believe not the words, until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." She testifies here that it was only when she came to Solomon that she experienced the wonderful things that are recorded here, and undoubtedly, it was only when she came to Solomon and heard what he had to say that light dawned in her heart. God did a work in her life. She became a new creature. She was saved by God's grace. Therefore, what she says right here spells out so powerfully this matter that is essential for you. The Lord is showing you tonight that you must come to Christ. There is a truth, there is a theme that runs the whole way through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many facets to the gospel. As far as its bearing upon man is concerned, as far as it impinges upon the human heart is concerned, many different facets to it, many different responsibilities are laid out when the gospel is truly preached with regard to how men are to react to it, how they are to deal with it, how they are to treat it. But here is one that is beyond any doubt. And it is this great fact that the sinner must come to Christ. Now, I want that to sing into your heart tonight. The Queen of Sheba says, "Until I came." She had to go to Solomon. She had to come to Solomon, and if she had not taken that step, then none of this that we read right here would ever become a reality in her life. And until you come to Jesus Christ, then what is found in Christ you will never know. What is to be seen in Him and observed in Him, you will never experience. And I put it to you tonight, therefore, clearly and plainly and simply, that you who are not saved will never be saved until you come to the Savior of men and you seek Him personally and deliberately and without any hesitation. It is indispensable. It's a step that you must take. And if you don't take it, then there is no other outcome but the awful tragedy, the awful calamity of your soul sinking down into the depths of everlasting darkness and doom and despair. You must come to Christ if you're ever going to be saved. The sinner must come to Christ in order to discover the truth of the gospel. Notice what she says here. I believe not the words until I came. Here in her text she says this. I believe not the words until I came. Now the words that she speaks of here are the words, the news, the report that she had heard of Solomon. If you go back to verse 6, it says, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. I think it's needless for me to say, but I will say it just to make it clear. Solomon is one of the greatest portrayals of Christ. Solomon, this man of great wisdom, great power, great glory, how he does exemplify and typify in so many ways our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a woman who heard a report concerning Solomon, as she says herself in verse 6, and therefore she identifies here the fact that there was news brought to her about this man Solomon. Go back right up to verse 1 and you'll see it even there. And it says, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, someone had told her about Solomon. Someone had brought her a message about Solomon. Right to her own land, the news spread. The report came. And she therefore was made acquainted with the king and all his wisdom, with all his power, with all his knowledge of God and his ways. The report was brought to her. Someone took the time to tell the queen of the fame of this man Solomon. But I want you to notice something. It wasn't merely about Solomon that the queen heard. He certainly was involved, but it was far deeper than that. Look again at verse 1. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Here is a statement that is so important. It tells us of the very essence of the wisdom for which this man Solomon was famed. It was wisdom concerning the name of the Lord. It was wisdom about the God whom Solomon worshipped that this woman heard in her own land. She heard of the fame of Solomon. That is, his fame, his ability, his great wisdom concerning spiritual things. Concerning the name of the Lord. And isn't it true, men and women, that in the Bible the name of the Lord is a term that's synonymous with salvation? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she heard of a man who had this wisdom concerning the name of the Lord. She heard therefore of someone who was able to give her light, give her teaching, give her instruction about that very matter of the name of the Lord. A man endowed with wisdom, this man Solomon, who could guide her and direct her and help her with her questions. Because notice here that she was definitely concerned about spiritual things. Because again in verse 1, we are told that she came to prove him with hard questions. Now she was not there to try to trip Solomon up. The word hard there is a word that refers to something that cannot be discovered by human ingenuity or by mere wisdom of man. No, here is a reference to the fact that this woman was troubled and anxious. She's heard of Solomon's fame about the name of the Lord, and therefore she comes to prove him. In other words, to have him answer her questions concerning the Lord, concerning the things of God. That's her quest. That's her inquiry, undoubtedly. That's the nature of her visit to Jerusalem, to Solomon. She comes to Solomon to get the truth. And there's the point that I want you to see this evening, as I've already stated it for you. The sinner must come to Jesus Christ in order to discover the truth of the gospel. In order to find out the real way of things, if you want to put it as simply as that, you must come to Christ and you must trust in Christ in order for your soul to be enlightened and your mind to receive the truth that you desperately need. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, is the very personification of wisdom and truth. It's in Christ that all wisdom is found with regard to the saving of the soul. We think of the words of 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24, where we're told that Christ is the wisdom of God. We're told as well that He's the faithful and true witness. There are so many statements in this book that tell us beyond any doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ will never deceive anybody. He will never lead anyone astray. And if you come to Him, He will show to your heart, He will reveal to your mind that which will enlighten you and deliver you. It will bring you out of darkness. It'll bring you out of uncertainty. It'll bring you out of the bewilderment that you might be in. Come to Christ for truth. Because Christ is the truth. It's embodied in Him. As I said, He's the personification of it. He is the faithful and true witness. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And therefore, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says to you this evening from his own lips, as it were, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And as you think of the Lord Jesus Christ being the one who is the embodiment of truth and wisdom, then there's a fullness in Him that cannot be exhausted. He is full of wisdom and knowledge and truth and understanding. Notice here in verse 3 what's said. It says, Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And that illustrates the point that I make, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one in whom there's a fullness of wisdom that cannot be exhausted. There's a vivid picture here of the fact that all spiritual inquiries that are brought to Jesus Christ will be answered. My dear friend, are you searching? Are you looking for answers concerning your soul, concerning spiritual matters, concerning the need of your heart and your life, concerning your sin? Are you like this woman here, the Queen of Sheba, who undoubtedly, as I've said, was very troubled and very anxious about her soul, about these matters concerning the Lord and concerning spiritual things? Are you like that? Have you got in your heart this evening concern and trouble and anxiety, so much so that you're wondering, is there anyone who can shed light upon your needy situation and deliver you from the state that you're in because of sin? Oh, how many questions there are that sinners would do well to ask, and concerning which find an answer. I think of the great questions, especially with regard to the matter of man's guilt and man's sin and man's corruption. And there are many places in the Scripture that we could choose to visit right now and look at verses that pose questions that sinners would do well to ponder. And maybe some of you are pondering them. For example, the kind of question you have in Job 25 and verse 4, where it says, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? What are those questions saying? What are they posing to the human mind? Simply this: how can you get rid of your guilt? And how can you deal with the corruption that sin has brought into your life? That's the nature of that double question. How then can man be justified with God? What a searching question that is. Because it does deal with guilt. It deals with your position before God. It deals with your relationship with God, because no man is just. No man is accepted by God. No man has a standing with God. Naturally, in and of himself, it's otherwise. It is the very opposite. And therefore, the question is, how then can man be just with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? In other words, how are you going to be delivered from those twin solemn issues of being accepted by God in justification, declared righteous, and being cleansed from the corruption of your nature and the defilement of your life. How can that need be met? My dear friend, ponder that this evening, because that's the very heart of your need. That's the central issue with regard to the state of your soul. You're unjust, you're condemned. How can you be right with God? You are vile and sinful and corrupt in His sight. How can you be clean? And of course, the answer comes clearly from the Word of God. That sinners are accepted in the Beloved. They are justified by grace and through faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And all the corruption of their hearts and their lives is washed away by the cleansing, sanctifying power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, sinner, Christ has the answers. And yet the point is, until you come to Jesus Christ, you will never have your questions answered. You'll never have the needs of your heart met. Notice here that this woman, this Queen of Sheba, in that she had questions about spiritual things and came to Solomon, she saw that she needed a mediator. She was concerned about things that had to do with the name of the Lord, and she came therefore to someone who could answer those questions. She came to Solomon, who therefore acted as a mediator to bring her the answers that she needed concerning the name of the Lord. And my friend, there is the picture of the great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who stands between God and man, between the Lord and the anxious sinner. And those who come to the mediator come to the right person, because the mediator is the one who is able to show to you and bring home to your heart that which you need to know about the saving of your soul. There has to be a mediator between God and men. And notice here what it says in verse 2. It says, when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Notice those words. She came to Solomon. She came to get the truth. She came to have her questions answered. She saw him as a mediator. She's concerned and troubled with regard to the name of the Lord, her relationship with this God of Israel. She's heard about Him. She's heard about His ways. She's troubled about all these matters. So she comes and she communes with Solomon of all that is in her heart. Notice that. There was an unburdening of her soul to Solomon. She held nothing back. She communed with everything. She communed with him concerning everything that was in her heart. A personal, complete unburdening of her soul to Solomon about those things that had to do with the Lord and about her own salvation. And my dear friend, you're shown something here very, very important. You are shown that you may go through the mediator to the God of heaven this evening and pour out your heart and unburden your soul and leave there at the Lord's feet everything that concerns you with regard to your salvation, with regard to your great need. And I urge you this evening to go to the Lord even as you sit in that seat and let your cry go up from the depth of your being concerning your troubles and your cares and your anxieties and your sins and your wickedness and where you're going in life and where you're going to end up. Go to the Lord and tell Him all about it. Commune with Him with regard to everything that is in your heart this evening, your fears and your doubts and all the details about your salvation and your need of a Savior. Go, my friend, to the Lord and pour it all out unto Him, because He alone is the mediator between God and men. He will hear you, and He will answer you, and He will save you. It's to Christ you must come, that you might find the truth and discover the answers that will bring to you salvation and deliverance from your sin and from your waywardness and your wickedness. Then let us hear that when a sinner does come to Christ, it will be found that there is an abundance in him that amazes the soul. Notice what she says here in our text. Behold, the half was not told me. The wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. When she came, she discovered that what Solomon had to show her was amazing. It says in verse 5, there was no more spirit in her. She was overwhelmed. She discovered that only when she came to Solomon did she find that what she had heard was only a little. Only a very little of all that could have been heard about Solomon and his wisdom and the ways of the Lord. Isn't it being shown to us here, therefore, illustrated here, that only when a sinner comes to Jesus Christ does that person really taste for himself or herself the amazing fullness that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until she came, what the Queen of Sheba had heard about Solomon meant nothing to her. It's when she came to him that it all began to make sense and fall into place, and her heart was touched and her whole mind was enlightened. My dear friend, you must come to Christ, and when you do, you will discover for yourself that there's far more in Christ than any preacher could ever tell you. There must be that personal closing in with the Lord Jesus in order to experience and taste and find the fullness that there is in him. You see, notice here that when a sinner comes to Christ, all doubts will be taken away. It says here in our text that she believed not the words until she came. In other words, there was doubt in her mind. She had not in any way settled this matter at all until she actually came to the person. And she makes it clear that there had been doubt there all along. She had heard about him. She had heard about the name of the Lord. She had heard about the God of Israel. She had heard about salvation undoubtedly. But until she came to Solomon, the doubts remain. She says, I didn't believe it until I came. You see, the Lord is teaching you something there very, very important. You say to yourself, you may say even to the preacher, if I were talking to you, something like this. I wonder in my heart, could the Lord save me? Is there any hope for my soul? My sins are so many. My sins are so dark and deep and wicked and vile. I wonder, is there any deliverance out of my sins? And concerning all these things, you're filled with doubts and fears. And the Lord's showing you tonight that until you come to Christ, your doubts will remain. How can you be sure of the gospel? How can you be sure that Christ will save you until you come to him? It's impossible. You'll never taste the fullness that there is in Christ, the mercy, the salvation, the wondrous things he does for the soul, until you actually come to him and receive him for yourself. And then you will taste personally that there's far more in Christ than what you ever were aware of before. The psalmist says those well-known words in Psalm 34, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How will you ever benefit from your supper until you come to the table and you eat it? How will you ever gain any strength, any virtue for your body, for your physical being, until you partake of that which is provided Never will your body benefit. Never will your physical well-being be enhanced unless you eat what is set before you. And oh, my friend, that's a very simple illustration of what the Lord's showing you tonight. Your doubts, your fears about salvation, about this whole matter, they will never be solved. They will never be erased until you come to Jesus Christ. She came to Solomon and her doubts were taken away. Come to Christ tonight. And discover that he's everything the Bible says he is. Come to Christ tonight and discover that he does for sinners. He performs for sinners everything that the Bible says he does and performs. You can never know this until you come to him and you lay hold of him and you trust him and you receive him for yourself. My dear friend, you will continue in doubt and in fear and in uncertainty and you will perish that way. You must come to Christ and find the amazing fullness that's there. And when you come, all your doubts will be taken away. Come to Christ and discoveries will be experienced as well as doubts being erased, because notice that this woman found there was more with Solomon, as we already noted, than she was aware of at that point in time. Verses 4 and 5 make that absolutely clear. Look at those marvelous verses. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. The reference there to Solomon's household. The wisdom displayed in it all. A portrayal of the riches and the benefits that are found in the gospel and in the Lord Jesus Christ. When she came to Solomon, she made all these discoveries. Her doubts were taken away, and she saw firsthand, and she experienced for herself what Solomon had to offer, what his own servants enjoyed, what his people had by way of delights every day. She saw it all. She witnessed it. You know, there are a people tonight who are like Solomon's servants in this passage. The Lord's people. You have heard the Lord's people talk, and they've maybe spoken to you about these matters. They've told you about Christ. They've told you about the riches of Christ. They've told you about the marvelous things that the Lord does for the soul. They've tried to share with you through their own testimony what they themselves have experienced. And they have spoken as glowingly and as clearly as they possibly could of what the Lord did for their souls, and yet it really means nothing to you. You know why? Because you haven't come to their Savior. She came to Solomon and she saw all this laid on for his servants and his people and his household. She saw it firsthand. Oh, what discoveries she made of the marvelous things that there were there in Solomon's house for his people, for those who were in his kingdom and under his benefit and blessing. And I tell you tonight, dear sinner, you must come to Jesus Christ that your doubts would be taken away, that you would personally discover the fullness that there is in him, and begin to enjoy it and experience it for yourself. And notice here that when the sinner comes to Christ, great delights will be enjoyed. Verses 8 and 9. Notice what she says there. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. She saw the glories of Solomon's court, and she expressed her own delight, the delight that filled her soul with what she witnessed. She saw the privileges of Solomon's servants. He says here, they stand before him continually. What a marvelous posture they had. To stand before the great king, hear his wisdom, receive from him day by day instruction and teaching that continually benefited them and blessed them. She therefore saw the delights that were in, that were found in Solomon, that were enjoyed by his servants and by his people. And my friend, what you have there is a reminder of something that I want to put to you very, very simply. I want you to see tonight what you are missing by not coming to Christ. You are missing. You are lacking, you are wanting, and you're depriving yourself of the delights that are found in the Lord Jesus. Oh, if only you would come to Him, you would find for yourself He is far, far more, far beyond anything that I could ever describe or bring home to your heart. My words are utterly inadequate, utterly insufficient to show to you the delights and the blessings that sinners receive when they come to the Lord, what His people have, that day by day they can fellowship with Christ, they talk with Christ. He blesses them, He enriches them, He feeds their souls, He does them good. They have access to Him continually. They can go to the Lord to pray. They take all their wants and their troubles and they bring them to the throne of grace. That's the Savior whom God's people have. And that's the Savior whom you don't have. That is why I urge you tonight to get to Him. Because until you do, you will never find anything of that which is found in the Lord. Notice how she noted the purpose here of Solomon as the king of Israel. Look at verse 9. It says, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee in the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." Those are marvelous terms. The Lord's people have a king. And he's a king in whom the Lord God delights. And the Lord God has set him on the throne. Not the throne of Israel physically, but He has set Him on the throne of glory. And that king on that throne is there because the Lord loves Israel. He loves His people, in other words. He loves them with an everlasting love. And He has given them this great king to rule over them and to defend them and to do justice and judgment, as it says right here, on their behalf. That's the king that the Lord's people have. That's the one who reigns over them. That's the one, my friend, who would take you under His wings and become your sovereign and guide you and lead you and direct you through the rest of life's journey and bring you safely home to glory. Here is the person who is able to meet the need of your heart tonight in the most full and powerful way. She only discovered the truth when she came. She only then found the fullness that there was in Solomon when she came. And notice this. Nothing would stop the Queen of Sheba from coming to Solomon. Because when you think about this for a moment or two, there were many pressures and there were many situations that could have kept her away. But nothing would stop her. When she says, "until I came," she's actually indicating that many things had to be overcome and barriers removed and obstacles taken out of the way in order for her to come to the king, to Solomon, and find what she discovered. All her temporal affairs were set aside. She was a queen. Which means, therefore, that she had great responsibilities. She had a realm. She had a people to rule over. She had many demands upon her time. She had many commitments. But everything was set aside that she might go to Solomon and receive from him the blessing that she needed. Temporal things meant nothing to her. She saw at that moment that spiritual things were far more important. The name of the Lord, getting an answer to her questions, finding peace in her soul. And therefore she saw those temporal things that I've mentioned, and no doubt they were all legitimate in her realm and in her monarchy. It's all set aside. Because, my dear friend, we are taught right here that there's nothing that should take precedence over the saving of the soul. But the problem is, there are some sitting here right in this meeting, and you have allowed temporal things to have the ascendancy and to have the chief place. You put time before eternity. Using the word temporal, what does it mean? It means things of time. And the things of time, the things of your life, they have been the very things for which you have lived and for which you have served, and you put them before eternity. Ah, my friend, there is an eternity. There is that unknown as far as you're concerned and I am concerned. There's that unknown, unending, vast, immeasurable eternity stretching out before you. You're here only for a little time. Life at best, very brief. Here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, how foolish to put time before eternity. How foolish to put the body, the flesh, and earthly things before the soul. How foolish to put those creature comforts that men love, their homes, their possessions, their entertainment, all of these things, creature comforts, all of them are placed before spiritual matters and spiritual values. And my friend, this is what you've been doing. And therefore, you need to come tonight and see that all those things must be set aside. You must be willing to say to yourself tonight, all of this I will set aside that I might get to Christ. I find Him. And nothing will stop me from coming to the Savior of men. She was a queen. That meant she would have had her advisors, her counselors. She therefore turned away from all them. I don't know, maybe she sat down with her wise men, because in those days the kings and the monarchs of the earth had their counselors, their wise men, to whom they went in their troubles and in their perplexities. And maybe this woman went to them and she discovered they had no answers for her. And therefore, all her own advisors were discarded. And all their so-called wisdom was rejected and forsaken. And she went in search of true wisdom. Furthermore, she traveled a long way, didn't she? Therefore, no difficulty was too great. No physical obstacle was too much. She saw that her soul and her spiritual need were of far more importance, were of such importance that any physical obstacle by way of traveling and making her way to Israel and to Jerusalem should be regarded as something for which you should turn back. What about you? Is it true? Is it true of you tonight that you've gone a little way, but then you've turned back? You've returned. You have forsaken the path of anxiety and concern about your soul. But here's a woman, and for her no difficulty was too great that she might get to Solomon. And then you see she came with a submissive heart. She came to be taught. She came to receive. She came with an open heart, an open mind. She said, Solomon, I want you to tell me the truth. I want my questions answered. I can't live with my conscience any longer. I cannot deal with these matters anymore. I'm burdened and I'm troubled and I'm concerned. Oh, Solomon, I come to you to sit at your feet and learn of you. All her own arguments were set aside. All her own thoughts were abandoned. And she came to Solomon and she learned of him. Therefore, sinner, you're taught tonight that nothing must stand in your way of getting to Christ. Is there some sin that's holding you back? Is there any sin that is so precious that you would sell your soul for that sin? Maybe it's a person. And every time you hear the gospel, this name comes up, this image comes up in your mind of an individual, and that person is an obstacle, and maybe it's the fear of man. I don't know what it might be concerning somebody else in your life. Let me ask you a question. Is that person so intimidating to you that you're going to lose your soul because you're not willing to give up that person and give up your sin and turn from your evil ways that you might get to Jesus Christ? I don't know what it might be, but why do you wait? Why do you linger? Why are you hesitating? Why have you not come to Christ? What is it that's holding you back? What is it standing in your way? My dear friends, see tonight that there's absolutely nothing that is to keep you from Christ. Because if it keeps you from Christ, it keeps you from hope, it keeps you from salvation, it imperils your soul all the more, it will take you down to ruin and destruction and everlasting despair. Whatever it is, set it all aside. And this evening are hastened to the Christ of God. Come and seek Him. Hear her words again. Those three words. Until I came. Pivotal words, challenging words, until I came. Will you come? Will you come tonight? Troubled, anxious soul, will you make this tonight when your step will finally be taken? And the Lord will be sought. And you will be saved by grace. I pray that this will be the case. I beg of you, my friend, to wait no more, but to come at once to the Savior. To come even now in the closing moments of this meeting. As we just now bow together in prayer, and let us unite our hearts before God, let us consider carefully what we have seen this evening. Let us dwell on it, especially those who are not the Lord's. May I say to you, as I said it before, that I indeed will be glad, very glad. It will thrill my heart. It will cause rejoicing in heaven if you will come to Christ tonight. Man, woman, young person, whatever your age, doesn't matter. Will you come to the Savior tonight and seek Him with all your being? And I trust that you will. And therefore I urge you to seek out counsel and help and prayer. When this meeting is over, make your way to the door where I will be, the Lord willing, to greet you and shake hands. And there, let us know that you would like to speak with me and like to seek Christ. May God give you grace. And our Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will do His divine work. We pray that He will draw souls to the Lord, that He will save by His matchless grace, that He will give sinners that enablement to come to the greater than Solomon. O Lord, do Thy work, we pray. Glorify Thy name. May salvation visit this house even now, and may there be a work done for eternity. May the Lord Jesus Christ have all the glory, all the praise. Lord, answer prayer. And come down with power, we pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Spirit, be with all of God's dear people, both this night and forevermore. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.